Good morning. Oh, I'm so sorry. It was very loud. I want to welcome everyone. I'm Lee Robards. I'm congregational nurse here at Main Street, and it's good to see everyone out on this beautiful sunny morning. If only the temperatures reflected what the beautiful weather looked like today. Let's greet each other in Christian love. Again, welcome to Main Street. We have several announcements this morning, and first of all, I would like to announce, and I'm very sorry to have to do this, but Riley Watson, a longtime member here, passed away, and her service will be here at the church at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I understand visitation will be at 1 in the Trinity classroom. We also have administrative board meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon in the Trinity classroom. Those of you who are to attend should have gotten a reminder, but it would be all those people who are committee chairpersons and council chairpersons and at-large members. This is a very important meeting. We will be discussing the new stewardship program that will be implemented. So we need as many ears and thoughts as possible with this. Our spring gathering book studies begin this Wednesday. The book study for men is called The Easter Experience. The book study for women is The Seven Hardest Things God Asks a Woman to Do. And Reverend Martin will be continuing his book study of the book of Romans, and that one will be in the Trinity classroom. The missions committee is providing the meal. It's going to be tacos and all the fixings. The supper will be from 5:15 until 6, and the book studies run from 6 until 7. Please make reservations with the church office if you don't already have a standing reservation. Community Garden Cleanup Day is going to be 12 noon on Saturday. It's at 342 Mineral Avenue. There's much more information in your newsletter. This is a project that is sponsored by the Missions Committee, and the hopes are to develop a community garden in one of the areas over by the hospital. The Single Again group has three events this week. Please check your newsletter or talk with other members of the group and find out where they are. And finally, Jessica Morris, Youth Director, would like to spend a few moments speaking about the Super Bowl today.
Good morning. I just want to tell you about the Super Bowl of Caring. That's spelled S-O-U-P-E-R. Today, 130 million people all over the world will tune in to the Super Bowl football game. There will be parties with abundant food, friendship, and fellowship. But at the same time, there will be people worrying about clothing their families, looking for shelter, and hoping for a warm meal. Today, our youth joins around tens of thousands of other youth around the United States to demonstrate God's love by loving our neighbors through a different kind of bowl, the Super Bowl of Caring. Since the Super Bowl began in 1990, over $60 million has been given to help those in need. Those who need help may not know the name of the person who cared, but God does. And our young people are developing hearts for giving that can last a lifetime. Our church will donate our entire Super Bowl collection to the Meals on Wheels. It takes $25 to feed a homebound senior for 1 week, $100 to provide service for 1 month, and $1,000 to provide a hot, nutritious meal to a frail and vulnerable senior for 1 year. Last year, Meals on Wheels prepared and distributed 150,000 meals in the area. So today, our youth will be standing in the narthex and at the ramp door exit with soup pots. And this year, we have pots labeled with Steelers colors and Packers colors. So you can give your money in whichever pot you think is going to win the Super Bowl tonight. And we're going to have a little friendly competition with the church to see which team can raise the most money for Meals on Wheels, and we will report back with you next week about that. So they will be at the exits at the end of the service. Thank you.
There are no other announcements. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as the acolytes bring forth the light of Christ.
If you're able, please stand for the call to worship. We have been called the salt of the earth. We have been called the light of the world. We have been called a city set on a hill.
You may be seated. Please join with me in the bulletin, our call to confession. Let us read together. We have come together not to be confirmed in our prejudices, but to be changed, not to be affirmed for our righteousness, but to uncover the immaturity of our faith that we might grow. Thus we confess to God our failure to live by the best we know and our limited response to the vision God sets before us. Praying together the prayer of confession. Almighty God, we confess that we have often swept up in the tide of our generation. We have failed in our calling to be your holy people, a people set apart for your divine purpose. We live more in apathy born of fatalism than in passion born of hope. We are moved more by private ambition than by social justice. We dream more of privilege and benefits than of service and sacrifice. We try to speak in your name without relinquishing our glories, without nourishing our souls, without relying wholly on your grace. Help us to make room in our hearts and lives for you. Forgive us, revive us, reshape us in your image. Amen. Let's have a moment of silent prayer as we reflect upon our own faith journey, about the prayers that we have just prayed and how they touch our hearts. And then in faith and reassurance that Christ hears us, that Christ strengthens us, that Christ forgives us and calls us to a more holy journey than we've ever been a part of before. Let us pray. Let us pray together the assurance of forgiveness. Light has come. Salvation is poured out on those who accept it. God is gracious and reaches out to welcome us. We are free to accept the invitation to follow Jesus. There is good news of forgiveness and healing to be shared. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.
The epistle reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and can be found on page 202 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Listen now for God's word to us. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We remember in prayer the family of Riley Watson and Judy Roberts, who returned to the hospital. And as mentioned earlier, Riley's funeral will be here in the chapel in the sanctuary today at 2 o'clock. Let us spend an attitude of prayer. Holy God, in a world that calls us to hustle and bustle, we are so thankful for the songs and the music and the time that calls us to pull away into a time of peace. In this traumatic world that we are living and the things that we observe, we pray, O God, for peace. Peace in the nation of Israel, peace in Egypt, peace in Russia, peace in the United States, peace in our hearts. For we know, dear God, that if we have peace within our individual hearts, then it can grow out from us to all the world. We know that if we proclaim an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, then all the world is blind. Dear God, again, we are reminded this day not only of the attitudes that we should have as Christians, but of the work that we should be doing. To be salt, to be light, to be Christ's body given to humanity. We pray even now for those of our church family in the Stevens Ministries who have gone forward from our church to share communion with those who are shut in. And we pray, dear God, that not only will we be sharing today, but we indeed would be sharing the body of Christ every day, in all places where we touch your children. Help us again, dear God, to be the light that reflects the greater light in Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to be the instrument that shares the good news that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So, dear God, we come to you and pray for these of our church family who have special needs, those that we know of and those that we do not know of, but we know exist. We pray for healing in the inward parts. We pray for husband and wife, and for children, for those suffering with hurts and aches in their aging body. For those of us who have no problems, who have no issues, and life seems to be wonderful, we pray for them too. Dear God, we are so thankful in all that we are, in all that we bring, to be your body, the church this day. Use us. Use us, dear God, for your glory. Bless ministers and missionaries, evangelists, wherever they may be in this world of ours this day, and military personnel as they give of themselves and go where they're asked or commanded to go. For leaders, both in our local community, in our town government, in our state and in our nation, let your peace rule and reign, Almighty God. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Let us pray. Holy God, to you we give glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for these gifts. These gifts from the hands of your people. Oh God, may these gifts be used to further the gospel of Christ and do the ministry of the church in all places of the world and here at home. Bless those who gave this day, and those who have not, and those who chose not to give. To all things, Almighty God, we give glory, honor, and to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
How y'all doing today? Everybody good? Okay, today is a special day. What's happening this afternoon at 6:30? What's happening? The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. Okay. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Green Bay Packers. We're going to have cheerleaders. We're going to have bands. We're going to have a lot going on. But we've got two football teams that are going to have the chance to become world champions. They're having the opportunity to become world champions. It's whoever plays the best. And then after church today is Super Bowl, but then it's also Super, where we're going to have our youth are going to be outside the doors. And your parents, and maybe you are going to have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity to go and give some money to help people that are less fortunate than we are. So a lot's going on today, using the word super, whether it be a football game or whether it be sharing. But you know, we have opportunities too. We used to tell our students when we were teaching school and coaching, we used to tell them, make the most of your opportunities. Make the most of your chances that come your way. And you know, we've got a lot of good things going on here at Main Street Methodist Church. We've got an excellent minister. We've got great choir and choir master and music. We've got parents that get you here every Sunday so you can be in Sunday school. We've got teachers that teach in Sunday school. We've got people out there who give money to the church so the church can provide all these opportunities for each one of us. So we've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Now, what we're going to do, when we finish up here, we're going to have the opportunity to go out there and hug somebody. We're going to have a chance to go hug them. You can hug, it can be your parents and say, thank you for getting me here on Sunday. Or it can be your Sunday school teacher. Or it can be some of these folks out here that just love to see you and that speak to you. People who perhaps give money to help the church and help you to be able to do the things that you do. Will you do that for me? Will you take advantage of this opportunity? You know, we want the Steelers and the Packers to take advantage. We want our parents, when we leave out of here today, to have an opportunity and take advantage of helping out people less fortunate. But I want y'all to do that for me, will you? So we're going to have a brief prayer. And then after the prayer, and if you want to hug two or three, you can. And just say, thank you. Thank you for helping Main Street Methodist Church to be so important in my life and for helping me to be here to learn about Jesus. Okay, if you'll bow your heads and repeat after me. Thank you, God, for opportunities. Let us make the most of these opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go hug them. Go give them a big hug.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 13th verse of the 5th chapter. But you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one can, after lighting a lamp, put it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Young boy was in one of the churches in New York, and they had a nice wrought iron looking pulpit, and it went around and kind of looked like that the preacher might have been locked up in there. And the little boy looked over his mother and says, what are they going to do when they let him go from there? And I guess that's a question we got to ask ourselves this morning. What are we going to do when God lets us go? Story was told about Don Sutton. He was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he had gone several weeks and had not won a game. The armchair quarterbacks or the news media, those that never get in the game but always have something to say, you know, those critiquers, they were criticizing him and talking about how he was washed up and all this kind of stuff. Walter Alston called him to his office, and Don knew that this was coming. And he went in and he sat down, sort of expecting the worst, maybe to be sent back to the minors. Walter looked at Don and he said, Don, if we are going to win, we're going to win with Don Sutton on the mound. I have made a decision. That's my decision. You're dismissed. Don went back out, and for the next 2 weeks, did not win a ball game. But he began to pitch some of the best of his career, knowing that his coach was behind him. And in the pennant drive in the World Series, he won 13 out of 14 games. I think if we look at ourselves and think about this illustration, this story, Jesus Christ would be saying to us, if the church is going to overcome, if the church is going to be victorious, if the church is going to accomplish what it needs to accomplish, it's going to accomplish it with you being in the game. It's going to accomplish it with you fulfilling the area of responsibility that you need to fulfill. Not everybody on a baseball team particularly is a pitcher. They are infielders and outfielders. And you know, some of the most important areas as well are those in the stand that are cheering on the players. Today, Super Bowl's already been mentioned. There'll be those in the stand. There'll be far more in the stand than there will be on the field. And they'll be screaming and hollering and cheering, and you can tell which side somebody is on by the way they dress, by the way they cheer. How about for us? Do people know which side we're on? Do they know who we're cheering for? Do they know who we're supporting? It's important. For you see, Jesus looked at this crowd of people that he had gathered around him, and they were fishermen, you know the story, tax collectors, women. And Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And as we reflect upon those statements of Christ, and we hear them as they echo through the ages, and they settle at Main Street on our pew this morning, and Jesus says to you and to me, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light to the world." And he reminds us that there is a danger if salt loses its saltiness. I know what it means to have that light stuff on your table. Salt light, they call it. Those of you that know a little bit of what I'm talking about, you know how it is. You go through one brand or the other, trying to find one that tastes like the real stuff. Somewhere along the way, you'll find one and say, "Oh, this one's close." But none of it quite measures up to the real stuff. And that's the way it is for us. We can talk about all the religions of the world, and we can talk about all the good organizations that we might be a part of, and all the things that we choose to participate in, but there's nothing that measures up to Jesus Christ. There is no other hope in the world that brings a stronger proclamation of forgiveness of sins and of restored relationships in Jesus Christ. The story was told about Mother Teresa there in the ghettos of Calcutta. And a person came to her one day and said, "Mother Teresa," said, "in this world where women don't want to dress up in the habits that you wear, what do you do? How do you do that?" She said, "I offer them Jesus." She said, "Yeah, I know, but in your area, says you've got more volunteers. You've got so many volunteers that you don't have places to put them almost. So what are you doing?" She said, "I offer them Jesus." This is down in the ghettos where there's such hopelessness. "What do you do?" She said, "I offer them Jesus." And for every question, every answer was the same. "I offer them Jesus." As a minister, I have been in seminaries, listened to lecturers, debated theological issues. But I think it was Karl Barth who said, after all of his writings, after all that was said, they said, "Can you summarize your theological writings in one sentence?" He said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." There is no other hope for humanity than the message that you and I bring. There is no other hope for the world than the salt that you and I bring. If I were to ask you this morning, what is the oldest profession? Some of you might say it's that disrespectful occupation, but I submit to you this morning that the oldest occupation is gardening. When Jesus called Adam, when God called Adam and Eve to be keepers of the garden. And Jesus in this passage of Scripture was talking about salt, and I submit to you that salt mixed with manure makes great fertilizer. And God is calling us to be gardeners, planters. Just the other day, I walked with Joe into the community garden that we're looking at starting soon. Has already, indeed, the preparation has already started. Having a garden is not just a once a year process. But having a garden, having a good garden, goes on all year. I've had some gardeners in my church, and I can go with them out into the field, and they can pick up the soil, and they can smell it. I've even saw one taste it. And he can tell you what the soil needs. There was one that I went with, and it was cold in January, and he was already turning his soil and getting it ready, and he already had product growing out of his garden in January. He told me, he said, there is something growing in this garden 12 months out of the year. It was a beautiful place. Wonderful. And so God speaks to us about being light, being salt, being the garden, being the hope of the world. And like Mother Teresa, He doesn't call us to offer them some religious denomination. He doesn't call us to offer some theological bias. He calls us to a simplistic word. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Let us be light. Let us be salt. Let us be fertilizer. Amen. Invite you to turn with me in your insert in your bulletin. God in Christ breaks down the walls that makes us strangers to ourselves and divide us from one another. We are the body of Christ. Around this table we enact our faith. The body broken is restored to wholeness. Life blood poured out, bringing healing to our world. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, Alpha and Omega, whose strong and loving arms encompass the universe. For with your eternal word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your word you created all things and called them good, and in you we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin, you did not desert us. You made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through the prophets and teachers. In Jesus Christ your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you and blessed is Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father. As a motherly tender gathers her children, you embrace a people as your own and fill them with a longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourselves our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory, and poured out upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of a new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of this wine we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as a body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. As the grain and the grape once dispersed in the fields and are now united on this table in bread and wine, may we and all your people be gathered from every time and place into the unity of your eternal household, and feast at your table forever, through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, as beloved children of loving parents, we pray, Christ Jesus, our living bread, we praise your mercy in the memorial of your love, as we keep in mind your life, death, and resurrection. Let our Eucharistic banquet enable us to share with one another the goodness and love you have showed on us. We ask this in your name. The bread we break is the bread of life. The cup we share is a cup of promise.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat. The banquet awaits. I invite those who are going to be assisting me to come first, and the choir to come, and then the ushers will be assisting others to come.
Let us pray together the prayer following communion in your insert, praying together for the healing you have given us in the brokenness of bread and the pouring out of the cup. We thank you for the community that you have restored in us through the sharing of life. We thank you for the courage and strength you have promised us, even as we have honored the ones of courage in our own past. We thank you. Send us forth from this place in love, letting justice be worked out with gentleness and power known in the presence of your Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together for the benediction. Number 451. Receive now the benediction. May the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.